It's good to be here. It's good to have all of you here, all of you that are joining us online, that are here in person. I've been thinking about how God is orchestrating this day from beginning to end. And this community is so important. We need each other. Amen. That Jesus said from the very beginning, when God made Adam and he put him in the garden, he said what? It is not good for man to be alone. We are made to do community with God. We're made to do community with God by getting around each other. So we're glad y'all that can be here in person. We're glad those of you that are joining us online. And so here's what I need everybody to do. I need you to say amen.
Amen.
Say that's good.
That's good.
Now I need to hear that when I start preaching. If you're watching online, you can type in amen or that's good. You got all kind of emojis at your fingertips. I need everybody to join in with me today. And we're going to get to 2 Kings chapter 5 in just a minute. If you want to flip there in your Bible, turn there, click on there, whatever version you're using. If you take notes, I would encourage you to do that. Write them down. Open up the app on your phone. If you're sitting at home, grab a notepad or your iPad and take some notes. But I want to talk to you about the expectation trap. Man, don't we get trapped by expectations sometimes? See, I had an expectation for my family. This was going to be the summer after my son's senior year of high school before he goes off to college. And so we had booked a cruise for our family to go do together. Our kids had never done it before. We thought it'd be kind of this one fun thing to do. And we had that expectation set, and then March happened. And all of those expectations just got flushed in one shutdown, right? Anybody else feel me in that one? Like, you had some expectations for your life over the last 4 months, but things have changed and have not gone the way you and I expected. And so what do we do in those moments when our expectations don't get met? Like we understand we run into these expectations all the time. You take a new job, you think it's going to be the greatest thing in the world. You're going to make more money than ever, and you're going to get to do this and do that, and you're going to get a raise and a promotion. In 5 years, you're going to end up here. And then 3 months, 6 months, 12 months in, suddenly all of those expectations you had for that new place go unmet. And so what do you do when you feel trapped in that moment that your expectations don't get met? Anybody that is in a dating relationship or in a marriage relationship, there is a reason that Pastor Rom is doing a Getting Hitched class, because anybody that's ever been in a relationship understands that when two people get together, one thing they're hardly ever on the same page is expectations. Like, I thought we were going to eat at 5 o'clock, and I was going to come home from work, and you were going to have it all cooked up ready sitting on the table for me, and it's 7 o'clock, and that is not at all what I thought. And everybody's laughing because you're like, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, because with a husband and wife, I thought we were going to just talk to our kids and put them in the corner when we need to correct them, and I thought we were going to get that switch off the back tree and take it to them, because that's what happened to me. And suddenly expectations for two very different things don't line up. And I'm telling you, there's nothing, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, you do whatever you want with it, that I believe creates more frustration in a relationship than unmet or uncommunicated expectations. They become a trap in that relationship until we can get them on the same page. And I think the same applies to our relationship with God. Because I think we try to project our expectations onto God. God, I expect you to do this for me, or I expect you to do that for me. The problem is, God does not exist to meet your expectations. You exist to live up to his expectations. And the moment we get those wrong is the moment we get trapped in some expectations that God never intended for us to live inside of. And so I'm going to piggyback off my message last week. Going forward, we talked about seeking Jesus and why it's so important to be absorbed with him. If you remember that illustration, long before we absorb what the world has, let's start by getting absorbed with Jesus, because that's what filters everything that we find in life. And so let's start by seeking him and absorbing our life with him so we go in the right direction. Well, for me, one of the hardest things, if I can be honest with you, when it comes to seeking Jesus is giving him my expectations. Because I have a plan for my life, and I have a plan for this thing that I do called ministry, and I have a plan for my family and my kids, and that's probably for me one of the hardest things to trust Jesus with and just give to him are my expectations. But I need my expectations to line up with his expectations, because in seeking Jesus, my expectations must bow to Jesus. There you go. That was your chance. Right there. Amen. There we go. A few of you. That's all right. We'll get there. How many of you that are watching online, man, if you have a hard time giving your expectations to Jesus, throw that little hand emoji up and say, that's me. Like, let's just call it out. Anybody else live here in the house, man? How about, yeah. Okay, a few of you are being honest. Some of you are lying. I'll see you at the altars here in a little bit. It's all right. We have such a hard time giving those expectations to Jesus and letting us come under his expectations and quit trying to make Jesus live up to ours. There's a story in the Bible that I want to get to here in 2 Kings. There's this man named Naaman. He was commander of the Syrian army. I mean, this guy had it going on. The Bible said a lot of great things about him. The king said that he was a great and honorable man, that he was a mighty man of valor. Like this guy, if you think of manly man, it's Naaman. Like he's fought it, he's done it, he's won, he's worked his way up to the top, and he's done it all. The problem was he got leprosy. And if you understand how leprosy works, what it does is it starts by damaging the nerves wherever it's infected. And then you begin to lose feeling in your limbs because the nerves are damaged, which leads to injuries that you don't always realize, which become infections. It can lead to permanent disabilities and ultimately cause muscle paralysis. Suddenly, life wasn't living up to Naaman's expectations. Because Naaman was a mighty man of valor. He was a warrior. Like if anybody could say ain't nobody got time for that, like it was Naaman. Like he's a commander of an army. And to say that I'm going to be paralyzed and not be able to do what I've been expected of me up until this point is a life-altering moment. It is a moment when his expectation for his life suddenly got shifted, whether he likes it or not, because he didn't ask for it, but it happened. And suddenly we realize this story that's thousands of years old still fits into our life today, because we all have life-altering moments that we run into, whether we like it or not. And we all make plans and have expectations that we think are going to come to pass until we get that phone call, and life changes like that. And so we can get where Naaman is at in this moment, because he's wrestling, because life has suddenly changed on him. And in 2 Kings, starting in verse 3 of chapter 5, Naaman has this servant girl that works for him, an Israelite girl, and it says it captures this part of the story. If you guys want to know more of the story, go read 2 Kings 5 this week. I'm going to help you get through it. A little quickly today. But the servant says, then she said to her mistress, that servant girl said, if only my master, Naaman, were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. Suddenly the expectation is set, right? God can heal him. She's setting the table, setting the expectation for Naaman. Like, I know that this has happened, but look, you don't know who my God is. He can heal you and fix this life-altering moment that you're going through. So the expectation is suddenly set really high. Listen, it's all right to have some high expectations of God. In fact, we should have some high expectations of God. Because he said in Ephesians 3:20, I believe, he said that God can do immeasurably more than you and I could ever think or imagine. So you take your most wild, creative, imaginary thoughts that you can come up with, and God can do more than that. Amen. We ought to expect that from him. But it's because he can do that. The problem is when we start telling God how to do what we expect of him. Suddenly we put expectations on God, and God's like, no, 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 no. I can do more than you ever think or imagine, but it's the way I do it, not the way you want it. And that's the trap that Naaman fell into in this moment. He's like, all right, the expectation's high. I'm going to go see this guy that you're talking about. I'm going to find this man. And the problem is expectations become traps when we start telling God how to do things. Y'all ever do that when you pray? Like, hey, God, like I need you to do this for me, and I need you to make it happen this way. Like, I'm a planner. I'm just going to tell you right now. Like, I like to have some steps out there and know what's going on. And so a lot of times I may be a type A personality. Like, I don't mind to take charge to make those things happen too. And so it's hard for me in this relationship with God to take the back seat and say, I'm going to trust you here, even though I can't see what's happening. Don't get trapped because you start trying to tell God how to do his job. And that's what Naaman did. In 2 Kings chapter 5, starting in verse 9, it says this. Naaman went with his horse and chariot. So he went to go find Elisha. He makes the trip to Samaria. And he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored to you and you shall be clean. This is the moment Naaman should have been like, yes, but it wasn't. Verse 11 says, but Naaman became furious. Wait a minute, you just asked to get healed. God wanted to give you the answer you asked for and you're mad. Why did Naaman get mad? I'm glad you asked. He became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself. Another version says, I thought. Naaman said, I thought he, Elisha, would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? And so he turned and went away in a rage. Why? Because Naaman didn't get what he expected from God. He got exactly what he went looking for, but he not get it the way he wanted it. Like, isn't it funny that we're just like Naaman sometimes? God's trying to give us the thing that we've asked for, but because it doesn't come packaged the way that we think it should, we get mad. Like Elisha, I mean, I get why Naaman was mad. Like, he made this long trip, and Elisha doesn't even go to the door to see him. I mean, he sends a messenger to go to the door. Like, if I made a long trip to see somebody, and they took the time to, I won't do that. Never mind, I didn't ask permission. I won't tell that story. I'll stop. I've learned preaching, you better ask for permission before you start telling stories on people from the stage. But we have those moments where I get why he was mad. Like, he made a trip and nobody came to see him. Like, I'm going to tell you now, if you're a salesman here, if you're a salesman watching online, and you come to my house, I will not answer the door. I'm just telling you now. I got this little thing called a camera that sits right above my door. And if you look anything like a salesman when you ring my doorbell, I don't come to it. Like, I mean, the only door that I do open to is if a Girl Scout is carrying some box of cookies, I will open that door every time. Like, yes. Manna from heaven, those little Thin Mint cookies from Girl Scouts right there, man. But Naaman got offended because he didn't come to the door. He didn't come talk to me face to face. He didn't do what I thought he was going to do. Why do I have to go get in the river and dip 7 times? Like, why don't you just pray over me and heal me? Naaman was setting his expectations on God when God had already clearly communicated his expectations of Naaman.
That's right.
And we have these moments all the time where we think, God, I need you to move this way. This person I love, this family member I love has cancer and I need you to heal him, God. And then he doesn't heal him and then we get mad because God didn't move the way we thought he should move. And I get it. Like, I've watched family members and people I love die from cancer. It's an ugly thing, and I hate it. But because God doesn't move the way we want and the way we thought, we don't get what we expect. We suddenly become trapped in the unmet expectations that we didn't get from God. And the funny thing is, Pastor Randy and I were talking about this after service, even in those moments when God doesn't answer our prayer for healing, if we know Christ and we're in heaven with him, he did answer that prayer. Because you and I are never more alive than the moment after we die and go into his presence. That's what true life is. But because God didn't meet your expectations, you get mad. And we play this game with God. We have these moments where we think he should move. We think he should do something. We think. We expect. I didn't get the job that I was applying for, but we get mad at God because you didn't get it. But maybe it's because he's got a better job for you down the road. He's just trying to get you to that one instead of sticking you in one that he didn't ever make for you. But I get mad at God because I applied for it and I should have got it because why? I expected it. Part of the problem with expectations is too many people feel entitled, but that's a whole other sermon for another time. Like, I ain't even going down that road. But I did just say it. And y'all got that. 8:30 service didn't even get that one today. Ugh. I think something goes wrong when we quit looking for the answer to be Jesus and we start setting the expectation for how we think Jesus should make it happen. Don't let how keep you from who. Don't box God in and say, this is how you need to do it, because it will keep you from who. It'll keep you from God, because you can't box him in. And he doesn't fit inside the way you think it should work. Don't let how keep you from who. It is not about getting what you need from Jesus. It's about getting Jesus. And if we can line ourselves up with that expectation, to me, suddenly all the other expectations in my life, I end up finding more joy and more peace than I've ever found. Why? Because that's what God wants for me anyway. And when I can line my expectations up with his expectations, I experience more joy and peace in life than I ever do anytime I try to go out and do it my way. But part of this with Naaman too that we have to get here is Naaman needed more than a physical healing.
That's right.
Naaman needed some heart surgery.
That's right.
Is what he really needed. Naaman had a pride issue. Because God told Naaman, no, I'm not giving it to you the way you want. I want you to do it this way. Naaman threw his scepter in the dirt and walked away. Why? Pride, man. Pride is a cancer of the soul that's worse than any leprosy on your skin. But the problem is we don't know what to do when God tells us no, because we think he should say yes to everything we want. Listen to you. God's yes doesn't mean anything to you until his no means something to you. I have that conversation with my kids early on. Ever notice how you tell your kids, yes, you can have whatever you're asking for, and they love you? The moment those three letters turn to two and it's no, it's like the world has come off kilter and you have lost your mind. And so I remember early on with both my kids, one of them a little more than the other. I'll let y'all figure out which one it was, but if you can't respect my no, you really don't have any respect for my yes. If you can't respect God's no, you really don't have any respect for God. Because if you believed him and you put faith in him like you say you do, then somewhere along the line, you got to take his no as I'm trying to point you to something better. The other problem is, if we're not careful, we're about to raise a generation of Naamans. Hear me. Whew, man. Unmet expectations will expose the intention of your heart. And that's exactly what happened to Naaman. See, the problem is, if we're not careful, we're going to raise a generation of people who are going to say, God, I'll do what you want as long as you do it my way. But if you're not doing it my way, I'm out. God, I know what the Bible says. It's not very comfortable. It's not very easy, or it's not very popular today. So I'm going to set that piece aside and do what I want. That's what Naaman was doing. When he said, God, I don't want to do it your way. I want you to do it my way. We do that all the time. God, I know you say we should be married first, but and put a ring on it and get this thing official before we move in and start doing things that married people do, but I know. That's the chance for an amen for some of you. The rest of you are like, If we're not careful, we're going to raise a generation of Naamans, and the problem with that is you'll never find God in that. You never find God at the end of your expectations, but you find God connected to his expectations every time. And he's made those expectations abundantly clear in this thing we call the Bible. And if we would just open it up and read it, we don't ever have to guess what God's expecting, because he's already told us. We just have to live it out and trust him. We just have to follow what he's got to say, not let pride. And pride was the cancer in Naaman's life that God was trying to deal with. It was the cancer that God was trying to cut out. And the cure to pride every time is humble obedience to God. Every time. There's only one way to deal with pride. Crush it with humble obedience to God. Naaman got there eventually. You see, in this story, it doesn't end with Naaman not getting healed. If you'll read on here, Naaman actually, some people around him came to Naaman and they said, Naaman, look, man, you made a long trip. God said to do this. Like, maybe you should do what God said to do. And Naaman finally had a change of heart, which there's a whole nother message there too. Y'all ought to surround some people. Surround yourself with some people that point you to do what God does instead of take you down the direction you want to go when you're angry. Woo, there's a freebie too. I didn't give them the 8:30 service. Y'all are getting all kinds of freebies today, man. Oh, man. But that's the problem in that, is that somewhere along the way, we got to humble ourselves. And that's what Naaman did. Naaman said, you're right. I made a long trip. I know that's what God said. So Naaman went down to the river and he dipped 7 times in that river just like God told him to. And guess what happened? He got healed. Why? Because Naaman finally lined up his expectations with God's expectations. And when you do that, God will bless you every time. Amen. But if you want to do things your way, you're never going to walk in the blessing that God has for you. And so you got to line your expectation up with God's expectations. And that'll expose the intention of somebody's heart every time when they don't get what they expect. Watch. I'm telling you. Pastor Randy says this. I don't know how many times I've heard it in the 4+ years I've been here. Like, sometimes it's good when we don't get what we want. And I think God does that for a reason. Because it measures the intention of our heart. And if you don't meet somebody's expectations because you have to say no, look at the way they respond and you'll figure out what their intentions are real fast. If they keep loving you, their heart's right. If they get mad, they fly into a fit of rage, they throw their sucker in the dirt, man, there's something much deeper going on in that moment. Because the intentions get exposed when we don't get what we expected to get. It's a good barometer for where our heart's at. And so this story of Naaman to me is so important in this time, because in this season, I think a lot of us are experiencing some things that we don't like, that we're frustrated with. We had expectations that aren't getting met. And so let me ask you this. Where is the greatest source of frustration in your life right now? And could it be because you have set a bit of expectations that God has not set for himself in that moment? That maybe some of you are frustrated in your dating or your marriage life, and it's because you haven't lined that thing up with what God has expected. And if you would quit doing it the way you think is best, or quit doing it the way the world says it's best, and start doing it the way God says is best, and line that up with his expectations, you may find God begins to bless and give you the thing that you're looking for. Some of you are frustrated financially, and it's because you've never lined your finances up with God's expectations. Because he's called us to tithe. He's called us to be givers. Not because he wants your money, but because he wants your heart. And you be a tither, you be a giver, you be generous and take care of people that are in need. And I promise you, that is the expectation that God has for his people. And you line that up with his expectations and he'll bless your socks off. That your career may not be heading down the path that you thought it was going to be going, but is it because you're hoping that this job leads to an outcome that you want, or because you're doing it because it's what God has called you to? See, some of us are frustrated in our relationship with Jesus, and it's because we put expectations on him that he never asked us to. We look at church as like, I've said this before, but I mean, it's like, I'm not getting fed. I'm going to go find somewhere else. Like, look, you'll never get fed enough in 1 hour on a Sunday morning if that's all you do in your relationship with Jesus. I'm telling you now. I ate breakfast this morning and I'm hungry and it's 11:05. Like, I mean, I got to eat more than once a day, let alone once a week. And if you're looking for one church service on an hour on a Sunday or Monday night to give you everything you need spiritually, I'm telling you now, you're going to turn hangry because it ain't enough. And that's why God gave us his Bible. That's why he gave us his word. And that's why he put a spirit in us. And he invites us to spend time in prayer and in his presence. And that's why he's created things like One Connection through this church so that we can get plugged into a ladies' Bible study or a men's Bible study or a life group or a Getting Hitched class or a Marriage Matters class or take your pick. FPU, because you want to learn how to get your finances lined up the way God's called you to. Because if you're waiting for somebody to feed you spiritually, you're going about it all wrong. He's called you to feed yourself. I don't sit at home waiting for my wife to cook every meal. Like, I know how to cook something too when I get hungry. And it's no different in our relationship with God. Cook your own meal. Open up the Bible. Dadgummit, it's not that hard. Pick a version that's easy to read. New Living Translation, Merit Message. Just start somewhere and then work your way deeper later on. But do something.
Yes.
But see, the problem is we got different expectations for church. I can't go to church. They told me I have to wear a mask. I can't go to church because they told me we don't all have to wear masks. I'm not going to go to church because they don't sing the old songs alike. I'm not going to go to church because they don't sing the new songs alike. I'm not going to go to church because it's too hot or it's too cold or... Because you've made it all about your expectations. But guess what? Church isn't about meeting your expectations. It's about meeting his expectations. I'll get off my soapbox. I could keep going. I'll stop. God told me to stop because I know where I'm going next and it won't be nice, so. You know, it's August. And you know what August means? It's hot, but September's coming. And then October, and you know what's coming? Hunting season, yeah, baby. That's what I'm talking about. I knew it wouldn't take long for somebody in Cowboy Church to put all them together. Like, I'm already thinking about time to get that bow out and start getting that block out and getting sighted in. You know the thing I've learned about hunting? You know what it really is? It's setting expectations. Hear me out. You put a feeder out that holds some corn because you're trying to set the expectation in whatever you're hunting for, deer, hog, take your pick, that it's safe to come here and eat. And it's a good place to come to eat. And I can expect food to be here every time. So I'm going to keep making a trip back because food keeps showing up. You're setting an expectation in that deer's mind. And you put that blind up there so that over time, they get the expectation that it's safe to be around that thing, even though it wasn't there before. But it's the wrong expectation because I'm not interested in keeping them safe. Like, I'm interested in putting some meat in the freezer or a head on the wall, like, or both at the same time. It's an expectation trap. And the funny thing is, Satan does the same thing to you and I. He sets the expectation trap when you and I make it about our expectations instead of God's expectations. Because if he can get you to feel safe making it all about you instead of about what God wants, he gets you in position. He gets you in his sights. And if you can get comfortable there, he can make you comfortable with a whole lot of other things that you shouldn't be comfortable with. And before you know it, you're a mount on his wall. And he got exactly what he wanted. Because he got you to make it all about what you thought was safe, and he trapped you with your own expectations because it was never about yours, it was about God's. Listen, I'm telling you, God has a set of expectations for us too, and it's not harm, Scripture tells us, but it's actually for good. It's an expectation that we would all spend eternity in heaven with him. That's the expectation God has set. The problem is we don't all take the offer that's on the table. That he has a plan for your life, and it's a good plan to do good things through you. That's his expectation. But are we going to live up to it? Are we going to line our expectations up with his? Or are we going to live in the trap of our own expectations and waiting for God to meet ours? I'm telling you, that's why it's so important in seeking God. One of the places I have to start is my expectations. I have to. Because those are the ones that I hold on to the tightest. And God has to pry out of my hands sometimes. And honestly, sometimes I think God has to let me get exactly what I thought I wanted just so I'll realize you didn't want that at all. And if you would have just let go of it, I was trying to save you the heartache and pain, but you wouldn't listen to me. That's what God wants to say to you today here, to those of you that are watching online. Don't make life about living up to your expectations. Make life living up to God's expectations. And if you do that, you will be blessed. You will find joy, and you will find peace, and you will find a life that is so fulfilling. When you get out of the way and you let God have his way. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Maybe you're here today and you're like, man, you may say, I wasn't even expecting to be here. I just showed up or somebody invited me. You may say, I've lived my entire life trying to live up to your expectations, trying to live up to the world's expectations. Maybe you're watching online and you're like, I've made every wrong decision there was to make because I made it all about me and what I wanted and what I thought people told me I should go after. And you've chased all of those expectations, whether they were yours or expectations that somebody else had for you, only to realize that at the end they've left you empty because they'll never fill you up. They're the trap. They're the corn in the feeder that's meant to lull you into something that you never should step into and God never intended for you. And maybe today it's time to say, you know what? I've chased my expectations and it hasn't worked. So today I want to go after what Jesus expects from me. If you want to make that decision and give your life to Jesus, maybe you've never made that decision before and you want to make it today for the first time, or maybe you made it a long time ago, but you know you've just not been living the way that you should. And so today you want to make a new commitment to Jesus. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up so that we could put a Bible in your hand and pray with you? Is there anybody to say, Pastor, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want to make a new commitment to him today. I see your hand. Once they put that Bible in your hand, you can put it down. Anybody else? If you raised your hand, would you mind to come up here and let me pray with you? I don't want to put you in the spot, not trying to embarrass you. We just want to celebrate with you if you would do that. Yeah. Let's celebrate, Lone Star. What's your name?
Jennifer.
Listen, best decision you've ever made is giving your life to Jesus. I mean it. Because it's not about who you were. And it's not about what you've done in your past. It's about Jesus giving you a future. And that's what he's got for your life, a future. And I want you to know that. We're all clapping and celebrating and happy because we've been there too. And so I just want to pray with you, Jennifer. Nothing magical in this prayer, but we just believe if you mean it with all your heart that Jesus is going to make you new and he is going to give you a new life and he's going to change your future. So, yeah, if your family wants to come up, by all means, they can come up with you. Please. It ought to be a family celebration. I love it. I love families in church. I think it's great. Let me just tell you that now, all right? While y'all are trying to decide with kids' ministry whether I should come to church or not, just bring your kids to church. Like, it's okay. We know they're probably going to make a little noise. They're going to run up. We don't care. Like, we're just glad y'all are in church. You got an awesome family. That's so sweet. So I want to invite you guys to pray with me. All of us here, if we can join together in this prayer. Can we do that? Will you do that with me? All right, let's pray. Say, dear Jesus, I need you to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins, and make me brand new. Today I choose to live up to your expectations and put mine underneath you, Jesus. Help me to love you. Help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah, that's awesome. Listen, I want to tell you this. We've talked so much about community today. You see all these people celebrating. We're family now. And all I want to tell you is don't do this alone. And I know you're going to leave this place and the enemy's going to try all he can do to frustrate you in your relationship with Jesus. And all I'm going to tell you is this. Keep coming back to him. Keep coming back to him. Keep coming back to this place. Or if you don't live close enough to this place, let's find a place. But stay connected somewhere and let some people help you grow in your relationship with Jesus, okay? All right, would you take a minute to go visit with that lady right over there? We'd love to just connect with you. Can we stand all across this place, Lone Star? Don't turn hangry on me yet. I promise, we're almost done. And how many of you would say, ooh, there's some places in my life that maybe I have set my own expectations and they're not what God wants for me. But today I want to make a decision to line my expectations up with God's. Yeah. All across this place. If you're online watching right now, raise your hands too if that's you, because you can join in this prayer too, because you're part of this church and part of this community. And as we close out service, can we just keep those hands up and let this be a commitment to Jesus today that we're going to choose and make a commitment to line our expectations up with his. Jesus, we thank you for every hand that's raised here, every hand that's raised online, that this community that goes beyond these walls and across the world. Today, we raise our hands together as brothers and sisters, as family in Christ, saying we are choosing to live up to your expectations, Jesus. And where we've not been, forgive us, Lord. And where we've not been, help us line our expectations up with yours and give us the courage and the boldness in those areas where we may be struggling to follow you, to move closer to you, to live the way you've called us to live, to walk the way you've called us to walk, to talk the way that you've called us to talk, whatever that may be. Lord, you know each and every one of us in the unique spaces of our life that we've struggled to live up to your expectations. Spirit, give us the strength that we can't have on our own, but we can have through you to overcome all things and be the men and the women, the children of the family of God that you've called us to be. Empower us today, Jesus, to live up to your expectations and experience the blessing that you have for our life, the future that you have for our life, the hope that you have for our life today as we line up with you. And we ask it all in your name. And everybody said, amen. Listen, if you need prayer today, our prayer team is down front. Please come down and let one of them pray with you. Otherwise, we are having church. Invite somebody back with you next week, and we love you guys, and we'll see you there.